Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The numbers are staggering, and this is why it was an incredible weekend of campaigning for one Donald J. Trump, former president, hopes to be number 47. And this is because, this is thanks to ICE, and these numbers have been reconfirmed this morning because some in the so-called mainstream media want to question the numbers that were released Friday afternoon. And it's concerning. 15,000 illegal immigrants, I say in air quotes, currently living among us. These are convicted or accused of murder. The numbers are just mind-boggling. And this at the same moment that Vice President Kamala Harris was traveling to the southern border in a big photo op that lasted all of 20 minutes as she went to Arizona. And by all accounts, there were some in the media saying, well, she's perceived as being weak on this issue. You think? Perceived? So U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement providing this data to Representative Tony Gonzalez, who's a Republican from Texas, and then he published it, okay? But these are official numbers, and they're reconfirmed. If you want to check for yourself, these numbers are real. I wish they were not real. But he's saying that as of July, late July, 662,566 non-citizens with criminal histories. I mean, basically 750,000 people with criminal histories, convictions we're talking about. And they're on the national docket. And if you look at the total number of the convicted, more than 13,000 convicted and then a few thousand more accused. So that number, if you combine it, you're talking about 15,000 either convicted or accused, most of them convicted killers. And they caught them, intercepted them. And then under this administration, because I guess we're a sanctuary country, I don't even understand it. But under this administration, Biden-Harris, these individuals were re-released, even though they're supposed to be deported. And so it's like, well, we know you'll be honest about it. When we call your number, we're going to deport you. This is insanity. And so Trump at his rally, the latest rally in Erie, Pennsylvania, it was yesterday afternoon, and he was speaking there. Dave McCormick, the Republican senatorial candidate, with him. He calls McCormick up on the stage. And so I just want you to, as the backdrop, understand that on this issue alone, this is why Trump won in 2016 on this issue. And so there's really, to me, there's no other issue. And you think about the hot mess of our country. You think about what's going on with six southern states right now, underwater, flooded. And we have hundreds of people missing. We have nearly 100 dead with the death toll rising. Where is this administration? And we hear the lame statement from the White House releasing it saying, well, as soon as it's safe for President Biden to travel there, he'll be there sometime later this week. That's this administration, the lame duck. It's not just Biden. Because if you're the VP, if you're the vice president, and by the way, if you're the one that's the candidate and you want the job, aren't you there? Weren't you there all weekend and saying, hey, I'm not campaigning. I'm stopping all the campaign because I want to be with the people of North Carolina. I want to roll my sleeves up and maybe take off my 62 grand, 18 karat gold Tiffany beautiful necklace. Maybe I'm going to take off the jewelry, roll my sleeves up, and walk with the people as they're suffering. And also, what do you need? How can we help? What about the crews? By the way, rescue first responders from across the nation, including from our region here, have already gone. They're there. And some of them fear that it's going to be more of a recovery mission rather than a rescue mission. Where's Vice President Harris? Where is Harris? If she's not in the South right now, shame on her. But where was she? This thing hit Thursday night. And what was she doing? She was planning her trip. She was in hair and makeup longer, by the way. She was in hair and makeup with wardrobe longer than she was at the border in Arizona for that ridiculous photo op, which is an insult to all of us. The data is staggering. It's concerning. And I didn't even give you all the numbers. I think just the killers, convicted rapists, convicted pedophiles. Oh, my goodness. So let's get to some audio. Let's listen in. This is Trump. And I believe, Dan, this is where Trump is giving the introduction to Dave McCormick. And this is gracious, right?
We're winning in Pennsylvania. And the main thing that we have to do is we have to get out the vote. We have to get out the vote, because if we lose this election, we are going to have a problem with this country, the likes of which I think no country has ever faced before. Here in Pennsylvania, you also need to vote for your next senator. And he's a great guy. I've known him for a long time. He's a winner in the military. He's a winner in life. He's got a fantastic wife and family. And I'm telling you, he's a warrior. He was a warrior in the military. He then goes into private practice, and he made a lot of money. He ran one of the biggest firms and did really great, respected so much beyond this. And he just wanted to do something, I would say, for the country and for Pennsylvania, because, you know, Pennsylvania to the country. But he loves his country. He loves the Commonwealth. And Dave McCormick, just come up for a second, would you, Dave? Come on up.
Big applause. And so Dave McCormick needs to key in on what Trump just talked about. And so you'll hear a little bit of McCormick. But before you do, just think about it. If you're McCormick, you need to say, hey, I want to take all the experience that I had in the United States military, in a leadership position as a captain, but as well then going into private enterprise. And I want to take that experience in the private sector. I'm an outsider, right? That's what I expected to hear him say. I'm the outsider. I'm somebody who, yes, I fought for my country. I fought for you, combat veteran, by the way. But now I want to fight for you in different ways. And I want to bring that experience as an outsider, as somebody who has attained success in the private sector. And I want to bring that experience as a senator to represent you in Pennsylvania to try to fix all that's wrong with our nation. And then go into it. Talk about the economy. Talk about jobs. Talk about fracking. Talk about the border issue and these criminals, convicted killers and rapists and pedophiles that have been allowed to come in our country. Talk about all of that. So let's listen in now to Senate candidate Republican Dave McCormick.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. And hello, Erie. How are you? You know, I just wanted to say, Mr. President, thank you for coming back to the Keystone State. This is the place where we're going to retire Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and send you back to the White House, right here in Pennsylvania, right here, this state, right here in Erie. Erie, the bellwether, right here. And this is also where we're going to have the chance to fire a guy named Bob Casey. Bob Casey is weak. He's weak. He's a career politician. He's liberal. And we got to send him back in and bring a Republican majority to the Senate to get the Trump agenda across the finish line.
So you tell me, 855-839-1210. Let's create a suggestion box, because to me, if you're coming out of the box, you have this incredible introduction. And although I know he's trying to be gracious and say to Trump, you know, thank you and hello, Erie, how you doing? Okay, delete that off of there.
Get it out.
I know. I'm just trying to say you have a moment. And Trump doesn't give the stage to many people. Remember, he gave it to Vivek one time. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
Move over, kiddo.
Yep.
So you have this golden opportunity. You have a huge crowd. You have a huge platform. Get to business and tell the people of Pennsylvania why they need to get out and vote for you. And by the way, you need to say, a lot of you hunters, it's hunting season. And I spent years hunting with my dad here in Pennsylvania. We've got a real problem here with our gun owners in Pennsylvania, because guess what? you're not registered to vote. We got a half a million of you who are not registered to vote.
That's crazy.
I want to protect your Second Amendment right. I will do that in the Senate. And if I lose, let me tell you something. My opponent, Bob Casey, is not, he wants to take your guns away from you. That's the kind of thing he needs to say.
Why are we not outside Cabela's registering voters?
And
it's crazy to me that there are people, hunters out there that aren't voting. It's nuts.
It's very concerning. But Dave McCormick, all due respect here, get out there and boom, get right to the job. You're in a job interview. You have this prime moment. The light is shining on you. Get right to business and tell people why you're applying for this job. As a, make sure you know that you let everybody know you are a political outsider. You're not a career politician. You've never been a politician. And this is why you want to get into this, right? And talk about your wife, Dina. Talk about the fact that, yeah, we are blessed with five daughters among us. We're blessed with success. Dina worked for Trump. You know, whatever you want to say, but I needed to hear more. And so don't give me what I call a frisbee, kind of a generic campaign statement. Give me the details and give me the reason as a Pennsylvania voter to be inspired, energized, and go out there and vote.
It does continue on and it does turn around a little bit, but I don't know if it suffices to your degree of what you want to hear. Take a listen.
My friends, this for our kids, for our grandkids, this is the most important election of our lifetimes right here.
Why? Tell me why.
I'll tell you.
It's not that. And it's a race. It's a race between strength, a guy who says fight, 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 and weakness, the weakness of Kamala Harris. It's a race between common sense policies and a radical liberal agenda. You don't have to listen to me. This is a woman who said, in her own words, we want to ban fracking. We want to transition energy workers. We want to give amnesty to 10 million illegal immigrants. We want to make sure they have federal benefits. We want to have mandatory buybacks of your guns.
See? Look at the reaction they get.
We want to defund the police. And how about this? We want to reduce your red meat consumption, right?
Yeah, that's it. Get to the red meat of the issue. I think.
Literally.
So I just think, you know, I know that he's talking about top of the ticket, but he has to say, you can't always campaign on, you know, the opponents and so on. You have to say, I'm applying for a job and I appreciate you. This is what I'm going to do as a United States Senator. This is what I'm going to ensure. This is what I bring to the table. I'm humbly asking you for your vote. So I just want to hear more of those details and, you know, let Trump talk about the vice president. That's just my advice.
You want one more cut?
Because sure.
Let's kind of get into the details a little
okay.
more. Yeah.
Let's hear.
We need common sense leadership. It's common sense. We need a leader who's going to open up our energy sector, that pure, beautiful natural gas from Pennsylvania right here, President Trump.
A little more energy now, right?
We need leadership to tame. We got to tame this inflation and help working families with President Trump. We need to bring law and order to our cities, and we need to secure that border and stop these illegal immigrants coming in and bringing crime and fentanyl into Pennsylvania. And most important, our adversaries around the world are testing us. They're challenging us every day. We need peace through strength that we only will get if we get President Trump back in the White House and a majority in the Senate.
Okay, this is good. It took a little bit to pivot to that, but that's the important part. That when you think about, and that's why it's important that he says, why am I, I'm applying for a job in the Senate, but it's important that I talk about the current vice president who has been in office for, what, 3 years and 8 months, because her tie-breaking vote established many things that have been bad for America. And so he has to talk about the role of Vice President Harris, but as well, think about the Senate, think about Chucky Schumer, think about their policies, and what happens if Republicans take back the Senate and then can support President Trump at the top of the ticket. You see what I'm saying? He just needs to, I'm just saying, you need to follow through with that and paint a picture for people as to how it all works and what part he will play in that. That's my take.
Great point.
I'm just trying to, you know, give some friendly advice.
He almost turned it around there, and you do have some more energy halfway through.
A little more energy. That was good.
Short amount of time because, you know, the President Trump needs as much time to speak as possible when he comes to something like this, and that's what people are there to see. But you're right. Lead off with this kind of stuff. He sounded like he was a little nervous, stumbling over some words at first, and like I'm doing now. But I guess that happens when you're standing in front of Trump. But you're right. Hit the issues.
He knows him. Here's the thing. If you think that in front of Trump you have to suck up to him, you're wrong. That's wrong. What Trump wants you to do, Trump just teed you up. He doesn't need you to suck up to him because you've already sucked up to him enough, right, in person. That's okay. You don't have to do that. Believe me. What he wants you to do, he teed it up for you. Knock it out of the park.
Yep.
So we just need you to tighten it up a little bit. I'm just, you know, so you give me... You tell me, am I right here? Am I wrong? What advice do you have to Dave McCormick, who's running for the Senate? And by the way, let's be equal. What advice do you have for Senator Bob Casey? He's been in there forever. He's a career politician. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, what advice do you have for Bob Casey? He seems to be hiding. We rarely hear from him. And that's what's scary. We rarely hear from the guy, and he's ahead. It's a virtual tie in the polls, but he's basically ahead.
That's great, David. So get out. Dave McCormick, great guy. You got to get him in. He'll be a tremendous asset, tremendous help to you and to everybody.
There it is, DJT. So we'll talk about that. Get your calls, 855-839-1210. We've got a great mom, local mom, was a Democrat, now is voting as a Republican. And she's a mama bear. She's a fighter. So I asked for your calls, your thoughts on the rally yesterday. Huge crowd and going crazy over everything that Trump was saying. Maybe you had a little advice for Dave McCormick. We're 35 days out from a huge election. And this, as Vice President Harris obviously was in Arizona. And then I believe she was still out. She stayed out west. She was in, was it Vegas? I believe she was still out west campaigning over the weekend. But let's get to your calls. 855-839-1210. Hey, Charlie in Philadelphia.
How you doing? I have to stop listening to your radio station. I mean, between you guys in the morning and you with the looting and the shootings and the looting, the shootings and the border and all these people are letting in. I just don't understand how this president doesn't get impeached for that border. Don't they, when they're sworn in, swear that they'll uphold the protection and the sovereignty of America and its borders? And I mean, even if they don't have the votes to impeach the guy, at least the Republicans could keep pushing it and put it in the news, because most people don't know what's going on. The average person, like if I talk to some old lady or old guy at church or something, I'm saying, "Old, I'm 69, so I'm, you know." People just don't know. If they don't, if they don't listen to things like your venue, they don't know what's going on. They watch ABC News, you know what I mean? They're not reporting this stuff, and they just have no idea. They look like, well, you know, Trump, he's a liar. Where do you get that? If, well, you know, they say they watch CNN or something. They hear, keep hearing he's a liar. So what did he lie about? He kept his promise about stopping the border, building a wall. He kept his promise with putting tariffs on Chinese goods. He made us energy independent. What did he lie about? Well, they don't know what, you know what I mean? They just keep repeating the same mantra over and over and over to each other. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they have nothing to even argue with you about, but they're still going to vote for Harris just because she's the puppet of Biden, you know what I mean? Or whoever's running Biden, even.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sickening, but I hope we get enough people to actually wake up and see what's going on, because if not, like Trump says, this country's done. It's in a lot of trouble if something doesn't happen. I mean, you can't go on like this. When you, like he said, you go in a store, you can't even, you have to ask somebody if you want a bottle of aspirin or something, because everything's locked up. I asked the girl, why are you locking up certain stuff that's not worth? They said, anything they can steal and resell on the street is what we got to lock up. That's what she said to me.
Yeah, it's,
we got to keep locked up, because it's just like unbelievable, and you can't do nothing about it.
Well, that's just,
I don't know. They're gonna let you come in their house and steal whatever they want and not prosecute them. I mean, what is the end of this nonsense? You know?
Yes, it's, I don't get it, because it, and that's why I say, to me, and even, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris, when you think about, you know, she was the one, and she put it out on social media that she proudly cast that tie-breaking vote to pass the ironically named Inflation Reduction Act. And so she they claimed, this administration claimed, that they were going to reduce inflation. Well, how's that going for you, America?
Yeah.
That's really, and that's just it, that it was 50-50. She cast the deciding vote. And so that right there in the Senate is why it's important. It should be important. I would think that people would care about the balance of the Senate. Who's going to do what as a senator? I think it's really simple. And that's just it. People keep looking at all the distracting issues that don't impact your life. We have to really stick to, what are these individuals going to do? They're applying for a job. And what are they going to do on the job? What are they going to do for you? That's the question you've got to ask. So we have to take another break because we do have a great interview coming up. Local Mama Bear, her latest piece. What is she talking about here in Pennsylvania? You want to hear from her. And, man, we have so much to talk about, and I appreciate all of your input. Seriously, best audience. We are so interactive here. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I know this Friday, by the way, or this Saturday, I should say, October 5th, I'm going to Butler, Pennsylvania. We got to get a group together.
Ooh.
It's going to be a huge rally in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And remember that President Trump, former President Trump, I have to say that because Jimmy is listening. Jimmy Matthews is listening, so I want to be proper. But
we're really playing by his rules now.
Well, technically, I won't get it.
I know, but.
But in any event, he's returning, as he promised, to honor the man killed that day. And so it was an assassination attempt of a former U.S. president. But it really was a murder scene, was it not, of our great former fire chief, Corey Comparator, who just thought about saving the life of his wife and daughters and was a hero. So we'll all be there to rally on the Comparator. Remember, his daughter, at least one of his daughters, had posted and said, I want you to know my dad's name. He died a hero. And so it's important to the family that we remember them, and as well to other patriots who were critically injured. So we'll talk about that. I want to know if you're going, and we want to talk about this big road trip coming up this weekend. Speaking of road trips, because it's a beautiful time, as October 1st is tomorrow, fall road trips. You see the beautiful change of the season. Well, my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. You've earned it. Now go get it with a little help from my friends at Piazza. You know, they have thousands right now. They have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, and more. Just visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can stop by one of their many Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers. P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. I'm a minivan driving Pennsylvania mama bear.
You have a minivan?
Oh, yeah.
How did I not know this? You seem like an SUV kind of person.
No, it's great because when you're in car line, you think about it, whether it's sports or in the morning with school.
Yeah.
And that sliding door just kind of slides open. And you suddenly become like a pilot, like, ready to, like, you don't even, you could just slow down, you know, drop off the kids. Just like, jump.
Seatbelt fastened.
But we, minivan.
In about 3 minutes. 3 minutes. We are coasting to the front of the neighborhood.
And that's just it. I think that's, you're a mama bear first. Politics and everything else comes second. And I met so many moms and parents and grandparents, too, but especially mama bears here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, who really felt like the pandemic rocked all of our world. And for some, the aftermath was, hey, I don't like a particular the policies of maybe a party that I was affiliated with in the past. We have evolving parties right now, and we've seen huge shifts, which coincides, if you look at this, coincides with times of great invention as well. So that's a whole other story. But you think about this as a local mama bear. She actually took on, you know, court cases. Bucks County mom. One headline was that, you know, she beat then Attorney General Josh Shapiro in State Supreme Court fighting for her kids. That's the focus here. I want to welcome in Jamie Cohen Walker, Bucks County mom, who is a longtime, you know, local resident in the suburbs, former certified reading specialist, and now a stay-at-home mom with three young children. But COVID, I just wanted for the background of it, Jamie, welcome in. And COVID really changed all of our lives, but I think opened our eyes to some things. Am I right here?
Oh, definitely. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And you've written the fact that you have written about yourself that you're politically moderate, former, you call yourself a former Democrat.
And I was, yep.
and I think this happened to so many people, but especially moms like you. And all of a sudden you said, you know what, I don't like these guys' policy, and I'm going to look for somebody that aligns more with protecting my kids and what I believe in. And that landed you on the R side. And so at this point, I know that you've been writing, you've been busy. Can you update us? Because we haven't talked in a little bit about what has been going on. So you have battled in court, and basically the focus is on children, kids, and all of that. But take me through where you know, what have you accomplished? What are you still embroiled in? And take me through what you're doing right now.
Well, right now, I'm still actually involved in a lawsuit with the county commissioners. They still haven't released emails that I won back in like 2022. Luckily, Judicial Watch is helping with my lawsuit, with helping me try to get the emails, because financially, average people cannot fight the government. You just can't. They have all your tax money. They can use it. They can do whatever they want with it. So I'm still trying to battle and get these emails that I actually won. It's amazing what they are going through to not give them to me.
And so you think about this. You and I know Meg Brock, and I've talked to other moms. So you've properly filed Freedom of Information requests. You had to go through the process legally. The courts sided with you, and they've ordered transparency in government. These are your taxpayer dollars, and they're still refusing to release the information.
They're refusing. They're spending a lot of money fighting me to get these emails. I mean, it's just crazy. If people really could understand what's going on, I think they would all be very upset about it. But, you know, it's just hard to get the message out. But it's our tax money that they're using. Like, I'm using my own money to sue myself. It's crazy. It really is crazy. And the thing with open record law and winning them, it's like there's no way to really force anyone to do anything. You win them and they don't give them to you. It's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You have to take me to court and spend your own money. And it's a mess.
It is. And in your latest piece, the headline that caught our eye, it's an opinion piece. And the headline is Democrats are obsessed with abortion. You go through it and talk about why, you know, who you are, what you're all about, but that this one issue is not enough to earn your vote. Can you take me through, first of all, the op-ed you wrote, why you wrote it, the reaction you're getting?
Sure. Well, I wrote it, you know, I write a bunch of op-eds, and this one got a lot of traction for whatever reason. People are very interested in the abortion issue. Again, I'm not against, you know, I'm pro-choice, you know, with reasonable limits to abortion. I'm not against abortion, but the Democratic Party, that is like their only topic around here. Like the woman who's running for Congress against our congressman, on all her signs, it says the only pro-choice candidate, the only pro-choice candidate. Some of the state reps on the Democratic side, that's all they put on their signs. It's like their only issue. It's like they don't talk about anything else except abortion. It's crazy to me that people are not kind of offended by this, like as women, because it's like kind of saying like we need these politicians to like help us make decisions, and they're the only people that can stop us from having an unwanted pregnancy. I just find it like insulting at this point in 2024.
Yeah, and you point out in your Delaware Valley Journal op-ed piece, Jamie, that the DNC, and this was something that, you know, I had talked about, we all had talked about, what they had set up a tent that was saying, hey, get your free abortion, as if it's like a spa day, which it's not, or it's popcorn. That was weird. That was just, talk about weird. But I think part of this is, and I've tried to, you know, I've tried to talk about this, Republicans need to get it together with how to talk about this issue and how to own this issue. And I think that's why the Democrats, they obviously don't have much else with the economy, inflation, and pretty much horrible candidates that are either tied or winning in a lot of the polls by just hiding. That shows you a lot. And so for me, this is, as I always say, the GOP, RNC, you've got to get it together. So where do you think that Republicans or conservatives could talk about this in a way that is more mainstream?
Well, first of all, I think the Republicans should focus on the fact that the Democrat, and I didn't even put this in my op-ed because it would just have gotten too long. The Democrats have a bill right now that there was a hearing about, I think in December, that actually takes away any limits or any restrictions of abortion. Maybe this will be my next op-ed, but there was a hearing about it. You can watch it. They want us to not have one restriction on abortion, and they basically say it, and they don't come out and say it just like that, but that is what they are saying. They want it to go to the ninth month of pregnancy. They want to, you know, a lot of this is they're pushing maybe for children to be able to have abortions without telling their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Republicans could focus on the extreme aspects of what the Democrats actually want, that's where you go, because we are not an extreme society. I think most people want reasonable limits to this stuff.
Yeah, and you point out in there that more than 60% of these procedures are done with a pill. So it's not a physical surgical procedure. Generally speaking, it's supposed to be early on. I'll point out to you that when I researched, remember recently Oprah Winfrey had that, pre-taped town hall or whatever that was with the vice president, with Vice President Harris. And in that, it was heart-wrenching. They had these women on there who had said that two women had died, and they blamed the fact that there were laws, stricter laws. The truth is, I researched it. The complications arose because the women had taken mifepristone, the abortion medication, and these were later in pregnancy. Sometimes you can have complications. Nobody talks about any of this stuff. And the reason
No one says anything about it. And that is what the Republicans should be talking about, that, you know, they just want no restrictions on anything. You know, I have teenage daughters, and they get advertisements for abortion, like, you know, because they're in that target audience age group. You can just go, like, you can just make an appointment, like, online and ask for the pills, basically. There's not too many restrictions to that around here.
Yeah,
nobody talks about that.
First and foremost, Republicans should say, my opinion, Republicans should say, these so-called birth control pills could be repackaged as medication. It mitigates your monthly, whatever you want to call it, all the symptoms, and shortens your period. Like, we need to be blunt and talk about. I know some people are like, oh, gosh, Dawn, here she goes. But I'm telling you. I know. Don't talk about bleeding. But seriously.
It needs to be talked about.
If we talk about it, Republicans would own the issue. And because it's a sin that we're not having a real conversation.
Well, you know, and I saw something on Facebook or Twitter that Josh Shapiro was just at a reproductive rights rally in Montgomery County. So the Democrats have no issues talking about it. Like, that's their main, that is all they talk about, is fighting for reproductive rights, which means it means abortion. That's all they want to do. And the Republicans just don't talk about the downsides of it and what, like, how there is really a bill that they want to, you know, stop all restrictions of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but it's like becoming like an obsession for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. I guess it's because the Republicans don't say anything about it enough. I think like nationally, Trump is trying to say, you know, it's nothing to do with the federal government anymore.
Right.
He's trying. But
and that's just the biggest issue, that the problem is, and that's why the Vice President Harris coming out and saying, oh, this is, you know, I'll bring back the filibuster. And she's trying every which way to bait Republicans into that. And it's like, no, anything you do, anything you try at the federal level, the Supreme Court has ruled. And so it's no longer a federal issue. It's purely a state's issue.
Exactly. And that's what our congresswoman or the woman running for Congress against Brian Fitzpatrick keeps saying about him, that he'll ban abortion. That's what Bob Casey is saying about Dave McCormick. He'll ban abortion. And they're being honest. They're like, it's not our issue.
Right.
It's a state's issue.
And they need to push.
Try to put it. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm saying Democrats try to push this issue on every level of government. Like I wrote this in the op-ed in 2023, people don't even know what a county commissioner is and what they do. But the Democrats ran on the Republicans being against abortion at the county level, which they have no control over abortion laws. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. Like I see even the candidates, the Democratic candidates running for like statewide positions, like auditor general, all that stuff. They use abortion too. It's like it's out of control with abortion already.
Yeah. And it's.
There's other issues, you know?
Yeah. And I love that you brought up Plan B, which I'm the only one I thought who brought it up because you have teenagers, I have teenagers, so that's all you hear about. And so
Like, is this really an issue for young girls anymore? I mean,
no.
They have so many more options that you and I have, you know, at that age. Anybody can go on Amazon and get Plan B. Most, you know, it's just so widely available to young girls and to boys that get it for girls, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not an issue, especially in Pennsylvania, where our governor makes TikToks about abortion.
Yes.
Saying he will never ban it. And streams it to young kids. Like, they know what they're doing. The Democrats are really good at this.
Yeah. But in truth, what I don't get, it's a little dangerous because it is misinformation about health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's a real problem. And even Plan B, why isn't Plan B in every emergency department where they would say, if you've been raped or incest or whatever, get there, they'll give this to you for free. Make sure you get your period. It's not an abortion. But just do it immediately. Educate people on that. And so
maybe they do and they don't tell, you know, nobody's telling us this happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy that they can just keep using this issue and people kind of buy into it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and maybe to your point,
people aren't buying in less. I don't mean to interject here, but Maisie, my wife, she—I'll be completely honest. She was very much a one-topic voter. She swings Republican on almost every topic, but the emotional pull that the Democrats had really sunk in with her for the topic of abortion. And now you see all the ads during football that Kamala's running, and she's kind of to the point now where. The Republicans, what they did was good enough. And you have a lot of these, you know, moderate Republicans, as you're speaking of, calling for exceptions for rape, exceptions for, you know, incest and women's health. And Maisie, I remember she cried to me one night. She said, Dan, look, as much as I want to vote Republican, I'm scared for my life. You know, if I get pregnant, I don't want to fall into a position where the government chooses between the life of me or the life of a child. And I fear that's where we're going with a lot of the conservatives, what they're putting out there. And I'm not going to have a choice because there's not going to be any chance for these exceptions and such. And now this whole new reframing of abortion has completely gotten her to the point where I look at her during these commercials and she's just looking at her phone. She doesn't care anymore. And it's not really sinking in like it used to. And I think you guys are 100% right. This reframing of abortion is huge for capturing the female vote.
You know, that's good. That makes me happy that at least maybe it's not working as well. Because you know what? When they overturned Roe, I said, like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, women did fight for many years to, you know, have safe abortions and everything. I don't think the right should be taken and given to the government you know, with reasonable limits. What the Democrats are doing now in Pennsylvania, and people probably don't know about it, they really are pushing for no limits. They want us to have, you know, it could be up into the ninth month, no parental consent. So it's getting, it's just, it's strange that anybody would even want this, you know, mm-hmm. but
you also,
I don't know.
You also have been, you know, you have been involved in spreading awareness about, you know, Title IX, and you had a great line in your op-ed as well, Jamie, where you talked about you feel that Democrats pretend like they want to protect women, yet they allow, as far as girls' sports, they will allow a biological male to compete against a girl in sports or use a girl's bathroom. And so
they definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, just in Central Bucks alone, you know, the Republican board did have a policy to protect female sports. Like it was policy, I think 123.3 or something. And the Democratic board did just retire that policy. So there is no policy to protect female sports now in our school district. Like they're saying, oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens. If we'll deal with it. Basically, we'll deal with it when it's a problem.
Yes.
I mean, is that fair to girls?
Right.
You know, you're going to make them go through that. I remember talking to Paula Scanlon, and
yes,
she was forced to change in locker rooms with boys, and you know, they're not protecting women at all, letting
so
men go into their spaces. So they are not the party that protects women by any means.
Well, Jamie, I hope you come back. I loved, you know, just getting an update from you and getting your viewpoint on this, just trying to get the word out. And whether it's, you know, in Bucks County or in Pennsylvania or beyond, we just need more women like you with a great voice. And I love that you're just at the end of the day, I think the common thread is that we love our kids and we're fighting for our kids, fighting for our daughters and our sons. And so we just appreciate the positive energy that you bring to it and the common sense answer to it all.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I never thought I would like be an op-ed writer like in my whole life. But like I said to like my husband, I'm like, the Democrats just do stuff that makes it so easy for me to write things. So here I am.
Well, Jamie Walker, you're the best. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Until next time. Thanks, Jamie.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you can check out, you know, check her out. Search certainly on social media, on X, on Twitter. But her latest piece was the DelawareValleyJournal.com. You can check out. She's written a whole lot about Central Bucks community, that community, as well as in Pennsylvania. So some great pieces that she's written, and appreciate. And Meg Brock, too. We'll get Meg on soon, too, because I haven't even checked in with Meg until since she was a keynote speaker at CPAC. It's like last February, March. We're all just busy, so we got to keep in touch. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210. We want to get an update, obviously, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Linda Kearns. What's going on in Pennsylvania? Some key questions here.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.